International Broadcasting lives on 5085. The big one, WTWW.
Please stand by as we get ready to launch another episode of this Reality Radio Cafe Cast with your host and my husband, Denny J, K5DCC.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition, lift off.
Now grab your glass and get ready to fill it up with some radio on the rocks.
Vehicle's pitching downrange.
Raider for a good many years. I think I got my license back in 6. About 59, I think I got my first CB license. And then you get tired of CB. It's the same thing all the time. And so we graduated. But yeah, that would be cool. That'd be neat. And congratulations on doing that. Wouldn't mind hearing different stories myself. If you got information on your webpage, we'll look you up there again, anyway.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I turned on my recording right now on my watch. We could do it right here on the radio. You've got such a great signal here. So we'll just start right out. This is K5DCC in the Digicom Cafe on 20 meters sideband, 14.204. Talking with W9KK, Clifford Donovan, in Kankakee, Illinois. So you got a little intro there right away about his short story of getting into amateur radio. So how long were you in CB, and were you a trucker? Is that how you got into it? By the way, I'm looking at your webpage. I like your car.
Okay, real good. No, I'll tell you what, Denny, I was never a trucker. But I first got into CB, was actually in civil defense. That's what we did. I had a Hallmark, a little 12-channel radio is what I started with. And we were monitoring Channel 9 for civil defense. Really didn't say much, but just a matter of monitoring. We had an organization at Kankakee. Organization, and every month we'd have a meeting and we'd sit back, talk, and have a cup of coffee and find out what we heard on Channel 9, the civil defense. And that was more or less what happened the first couple of years I was in CB. And then, of course, we graduated into talking to some of the gentlemen when finally the airways opened up for actual talking, communication, instead of just communicating for the civil defense. So it was quite interesting, and I picked up from there. I had several friends I met and everything, and started developing friendship on a certain channel. We were on Channel 23. They called that the family channel in my area here, and that's how we got going. Go ahead.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I've talked to a lot of friends around here, too, that have been into CB, and it was a different world back in those days. People were friendly and helpful. Language was not a problem. People treated each other respectfully, and they get together on the side of roads and have little picnics and stuff. They'd set up little stations along the highways or something, I guess, to give people refreshments or whatever. Yeah, it sounded like it was a lot of fun. I did a little bit of CBing, but it didn't last very long. I got into CB a little bit after I got my ham radio license, which was back in my junior year of high school. I've been a ham for over 50 years here, and it's been a wonderful hobby for me. I'm 71 now, and like I say, retired here in the beautiful Ozarks. And several years back, I created a paradigm for ham radio. I call it the Digicom Cafe, and I think you might relate to this, but it stands for Digital Communications Christian Amateur Fellowship. And we just have people come in and listen, acknowledge, and share within a culture of kindness and enjoy the fellowship. In fact, we get together every day on Telegram and my Telegram channel for video chats every morning about 7 o'clock. Guys checking in from all over the world and talking ham radio, antenna building, all kinds of good stuff. So it sounds like you've been a ham for quite a while, too. Now, when you first got interested in ham radio, was that as a result of meeting some of the CB-er friends that got their license, or what moved you into the bigger hobby?
Well, I actually just got tired of CB. You had people that talk dirty, very bad language, vulgar language. People would throw carriers and stop and everything. They'd interrupt your contacts. There was a lot of that going on, And that was in the 70s. Of course, it got to be even worse with the Trucker Channel, Channel 19. And it went from there. It's utter chaos, really. And so me and a couple of my good friends, together we decided to get our ham license. But we didn't know anything about it. And so what I did, I was looking for antennas. I was looking around the area here for ham antennas. And we pulled up in this one guy's house, and I went in, knocked on the door, and his wife answered the door, and she was an older lady. And I said, "Is your husband a ham, or are you a ham?" She says, "Yes, my husband is." I said, "Do you think I could talk to him?" And she says, "Well, sure, come on in." Of course, back then in the 70s was a lot different than today, Denny. So that's what we did. We went in there. He gave me a couple of magazines from ARRL, and he put me on the radio. Yeah, he was talking to some guy on 40 meters in Ohio. And he moved the microphone toward me, and he says, "Tell him your name there." And I says, "Oh, my name is Cliff." And he says, "Well, hey, Cliff, what's going on?" It's like we were old buddies. So that was the start of it, Denny.
That's neat. That's really neat. Well, very good. Well, I can see you've gotten into it big time. I see your big antenna on your QRZ page, and I see all your radio gear there. It looks like a really neat shack you've got. You're surrounded by electronic gear. I bet you love being in there. That's like your haven, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Denny. It is. I enjoy amateur radio very much, and like yourself, I've been a ham for quite a few years. We got our license back in 1976. And that was another thing that was cool. I was happy getting my license. I was even happier when I finally got my general. I started out as a novice. And I was a novice for about a year. And I really got acquainted with CW. I really started liking it. At first, of course, it's just a milestone. It's a stepping stone to get your sideman license. That's what I thought. But that was interesting because I really got proficient on CW. And I was able to work over 100 countries as a novice, and all states as a novice, Denny. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I remember the old novice days. Yeah, that was different. You didn't go to a club meeting to get your license. We had to go to the FCC office. I went to the one in St. Paul there and passed mine right away. And didn't stay a novice very long. Got my general class within probably 6 months. And been enjoying the hobby ever since. By the way, this is K5DCC in the beautiful Ozarks of Northwest Arkansas in live QSO with W9KK Clifford up there in Kankakee, Illinois. And we're recording this session for the Radio on the Rocks podcast in the Digicom Cafe. So you'll be able to hear yourself when I get this posted there, Cliff. So anyway, well, that's very interesting. I'm sure you do a lot of single sideband, as I can tell here. You've looking at your website there, too. Looks like you've got an EQ set up, so you can probably set your voice EQ up to parametric levels, like Mr. Heil would tell you to do. Is that right?
Well, not quite that good. Not quite that good, Eddie, but we do kind of pride in audio setting up. I have really good friends of mine that have helped me set these stations up. I find out a lot of guys, they don't set their audio up correctly. And they get on the air and they really sound muscly, and maybe they sound scratchy, and they don't have the audio set up correct. And the only way you can do that, really, good audio setup, is get with your friends that know your voice. And that's exactly the best way to do it, but mostly it's just picking the right microphone, and when you get the right microphone, picking the right setup, the right treble and bass, and once you get that done, just get your fingers away from it. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what, your audio is top drawer. It has got a nice punch to it, crystal clear, good presence. Yeah, this is one of the finer signals I've heard, so you've done a good job there, Cliff. Very good. Well, I'm looking at some more of your QRZ page here. Thank you for your service, and sorry to hear about the loss of your wife. I'm sure ham radio is going to be filling in the void there. Of course, sounds like you guys enjoyed that together. When did your wife get her license?
Well, interesting enough, Dennis, she got her license the same day I got my extra class, go ahead.
Oh, wow. I don't suppose you're much of an influence on her, were you?
Well, actually, to tell you the God's honest truth, now this is really funny. My wife picked up CW like you wouldn't believe. And she helped me with the code. I had a little heave kit here. And we'd code back and forth together. That's how we got to know CW. And I want to tell you something. She was very proficient before she even got her license. Go ahead.
Wow. Don't tell me that's how you guys started dating.
Oh, no. I was married a long time. I was married 55 years. I got to know her just before going to Vietnam.
Roger that. Well, 55 years. How old are you?
77. I'll be 77 tomorrow.
Wow. Well, happy birthday. I see you got some boys and grandboys there.
Oh, yeah. I got two sons and a grandson, so I'm a pretty proud papa.
I'll bet. Do they live close by?
Well, not too bad. About 45 miles north of me.
Well, that's not too bad. We've got kids up in Minneapolis, kids up in northeast Iowa, and kids down here just a mile from us, too. We've got a total of 19 grandkids now.
Oh, my God. Well, I tell you what, you're not lacking a place to visit, are you?
No, that's for sure. And we got three greats also, so the family keeps growing. A lot of them are adopted, too. All of our kids are getting into adopting kids. In fact, our daughter is just about ready here in early February to adopt two kids. So that's, let's see, we got our son just down the road there. They kind of adopted or got legal custody of four. And our son up in the Twin Cities, he's got two that they adopted too. So they're not all blood grandkids, but we love them just the same.
Well, it's funny you should say that. My big son, if you're looking at my webpage, you'll see one boy is a little heavy set. He was adopted. I adopted him when he was 1 month old, go ahead.
Wow, well, you've got a heart for that too, don't you?
Yeah, sometimes it's too big, it seems like. But yeah, I was just going to tell you, I think that's fantastic what they're doing there. There should be more of that going on. There's so many children that don't have anything at all. And I tell you, when you have nothing at all, you do get involved with gangs and stuff like that, get in the wrong crowd. I tell you, family is big. Loving family is the best thing. It's better than being rich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are really rich with family for sure. Well, what did you do for a living?
Well, you opened up a can of worms there. Back when I was 16 years old, I got my first job. And it was a Steak and Shake restaurant. I was a car hop at Steak and Shake. I worked there for, I think, 2 years. I worked good enough to get me art, which was a 54 Buick Special, which lasted 1 month, and some drunk driver right in front of the Steak and Shake, he plowed right into my car and just completely wrecked it. That was the end of that. I went from Steak and Shake to a greenhouse. I worked at a greenhouse for a couple years. $1 an hour at the greenhouse. When I was working a Steak and Shake, it was 50 cents an hour. $1 an hour at the greenhouse, hard work at the greenhouse, I'll tell you. I don't think most people can understand how hard it is, the work at a greenhouse. And back at that time, it was very difficult. And I went from there, and then I finally got a job in a factory. I worked for Simonize Wax Company. And I worked my way up from a janitor all the way to making the wax, car wax. Very interesting. Had that job for about 4 years. And then they closed the place down. And then I had to go to Crown Cork and Seal, who makes the cans. And I was there for 24 years. So that was it. We hung everything up at the age of 68, Gwen.
Ah, that's great. That's great. Well, it sounds like you're a hard worker and it's paid off. You're enjoying retirement. You got some kids there, too. I'm wondering, are any of your other boys or grandsons, are they also interested in ham radio?
Oh, no. It's kind of odd there you say that, Denny, because both my sons learned CW. They learned it because, of course, I was in the shack all the time, you know? And they learned it. They heard it all the time, and they both wanted to know what it was and what it was about, so they did learn CW. With no speed or anything, but they knew what CW was. That's as far as it went, that is. Girls took priority. And they didn't want to sit down and learn anything when they could go out and have a good time with their girlfriends. So that was the end of that. And the grandson's the same way. I do have a couple old photos when they were sitting here with my earphones on and in front of the radio, but that's as far as that got any good.
Yeah, that happens at that age, doesn't it? Like Don Wilbanks always says, at that age, you're into fumes, car fumes and perfume. and picking up girls in your hot car. I see you got a pretty neat old car there. I don't see any antennas on it, though. Don't you ever do any mobile work with your ham radio?
Oh, this is W9KK for ID. Well, yes, I used to. Back in the early 80s, I had a car mobile setup and had a Twin Hustler antennas with big coils. And that's 120 Kenwood. We had that in the car when we went up to Chicago. I used to go up there quite often back when I was younger. And whenever I drove around, I always had the 120 in the car. So we did do that for, I'd say maybe 3 or 4 years, Danny Glenn.
Fun, yeah. I did a little bit of HF in the car. I built a Heathkit station, SB-102, SB-200 linear and all that kind of stuff. Well, I put the 102 in the station wagon that I had, and I was probably maybe 20, 21 at the time. And I remember driving down the road and keying up the mic and watch the headlights dim.
I tell you what, I'm familiar with the 102, Danny. I've had three of those. Them are excellent radios. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're fun to build, too. I built all that stuff, including the power supply, 630 station console. I built it all in about 4 days.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic. Yeah, somewhere around I got some pictures. I had a complete 102 station, everything. Speaker, I had the external VFO. We had the whole thing, man. It was a tuner. I had the complete 102, good.
Yep, that was like the inexpensive Collins line, right?
Oh, yeah, and I tell you what, it's probably one of the better AM radios ever built.
Yep, roger that. Well, I have a lot of fond memories of those days. I used to, when the bands were really open, I used to get on every night and talk to guys down there in New Zealand and Australia for hours.
You remember the old days? Did you ever run any phone patches when we were back in the 80s? Did you ever run any phone patches for Antarctica?
Oh, yeah. And for the guys in New Zealand. So, yeah, we used to run a lot of phone patches and stuff.
Yeah, I had a Kenwood. As a matter of fact, Jenny, I still have it. It's in my one of my cabinets here in the shack. I've still got my Kenwood phone patch. And we did that quite a bit. And we also ran some different phone patches around, too, back at that time. Some death messages for people and... I remember back then it was a good thing to do, and you got to meet a lot of people. Of course, you had to be careful. You had to monitor the contact because you were responsible for whatever they said. Danny, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hey, when you were in the service there in Vietnam, did you guys ever get phone patches back home from over there?
No, not where I was. No, I was out in the field almost all the time. I was in artillery. And back then, we wasn't even close to base camp. I think two times in my year, the only time I've ever seen base camp. Otherwise, we're out in the field, go ahead.
Oh, wow. Well, you're blessed to be able to come home.
Yeah, I definitely was kissing the ground the day we landed back in the USA, go ahead.
I'll bet. Well, this has been fun. The band has been holding up pretty good here. You're still just as strong as you were when we got started. But I think I'll wrap it up and stop recording. By the way, I'm recording this on my Apple Watch, which does a great job recording. So I'll definitely send you a link to the information, and you'll be able to listen to this interview here on 20 Meters. I don't do this very often. Usually it's live in the studio in our Telegram channel, but I like to do things a little different, keep it fresh and interesting. People can hear how well you can communicate on ham radio, and of course that's the purpose of the whole thing, is to spark some interest in other young people or whoever to get into this great hobby and meet some wonderful people. So I want to thank you so much, Cliff. You've done a great job.
Well, thank you for having me, Danny. I really appreciate it. It's been very interesting, to say the least. And I just make one more comment. Maybe a lot of these, of course, nowadays it's all digital communication. Everything is digital. Just like you said, you can record this on your watch. Well, the thing is, amateur radio is so cool. There's not a time that I don't get on that I really, really enjoy it, just like always. It's like the first time I was ever on the air, the first contact. It's so amazing that you yourself, you have your own antenna, and you don't have any wire-to-wire communication. It's all you between your radio and your antenna around the world, you know? And I think that's the biggest thing that makes amateur radio very interesting, Denny. Go ahead.
Yeah, the technology behind that, electromagnetic waves and antennas and stuff, that never gets old. It still blows my mind just as much as it did the first time I made a CW contact on my homemade 5-watt breadboard transmitter on 40 meters with a dipole. So yeah, it never gets old, that's for sure. So what's the most exciting contact you've ever made?
What would be the criteria of the most exciting contact? Would it be the most rare station in the world? Would it be some interesting person? Would it be... you have to kind of tell me now, what would be the criteria? Go ahead.
Well, I guess it would be somebody famous you talked to on the air, or maybe the longest distance. I remember as a young man in my ham shack under the stairwell at my mom and dad's place, some evening... listening on the radio on my Drake TR-3, I had a TA-33 beam pointing south, and all of a sudden I hear this signal coming from McMurdo Base in the Antarctica, and talked to them for a while, heard about how cold it was down there, and all this kind of stuff. That was a contact I'll never forget.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, you're right about that. Naturally, that's pretty eye-opening, if you want to say that, Denny. That's for sure. That's a fantastic contact. I'm sure that you still know that very, very well. Well, I really can't say. There's been a lot of different things. I made good friends that were famous people, and I cherish that. And the furthest in the world, of course, as we could talk anywhere. I've talked long path to Australia, which is like 15,000 miles long path to Australia. It's the amateur radio is just a wide spectrum. And there's so many things, whether it be a solid, nice contact, whether it be being on a podcast, okay? There you go. I think you'd have to rate this now as a top 10. Go ahead.
I was hoping you'd say that. Very good. W9KK, K5DCC. Well, yeah, I hope this is an exciting moment for you. And you can share this with your sons and grandsons, and maybe that'll be enough to push them over the edge. What do you think?
No, I won't. Both of them now, both of them are in college now. They're both in college. One is 21 and one is 18. And that's not going to push them. But anyway, they'll get a kick out of it. I can guarantee you they'll be wide-eyed about it. W9KK, go ahead then.
Roger that. Well, thank you so much for your time. And I imagine we probably got a bunch of lurkers out here listening on 20 meters wondering what the heck's going on here. We got the cafe on HF on 20 meters? Wow. Anybody who's interested, you can always look it up. Put in your Google search, Digicom Cafe, and it'll bring up all kinds of different interviews I've had with interesting folks from around the world, including some of my satellite activity, too. Some of my passes, I call that a different name. That's my favorite pastime, PASSTIME, is some of the passes of satellites and stuff where I talk to guys, too. And I don't know, do you get into some of that technology, too?
No, I never got into satellites. I'm more or less settled on CW and SSB. I do like to chew the rag. I get on a 205, actually, on a daily basis. And looking for contacts, just looking for anybody. And I've had some extremely interesting contacts. And I've had a lot of people the second, third, and fourth, or fifth time, or even more than that, in my logbook. I do have a computer log that I keep, and I log everybody I talk to, not just DX. If I talk to you, you are in the logbook on my computer. So that's pretty interesting too, Denny. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, the technology with computers, it goes hand in glove with ham radio, doesn't it? I remember starting out with the Commodore 64 and seeing how you could use that for logging and different things. So it's a whole different world now. Now you've got computers that control the whole show. different applications that put out digital signals, FT8, JS8 call, some of my favorites, among many. Weak signal propagation stuff, you can talk around the world with very little power and nothing more than a little wire out your window, all coded and encoded on the computer. So yeah, it's pretty neat stuff. Well, I'm going to let you go, Cliff. Been a pleasure meeting you. God bless. And we'll be tuning around here on 205 and listening for you down the road here. We'll talk again. And I've got your email address now and your QRZ page, so I'll just go ahead and fire off a link for you to listen to this podcast, and you can share it with your friends. So we'll let you go, 73, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Denny. It's been definitely a pleasure on my end, I can tell you. It's really interesting. It's the first one and last one that I'll ever be associated with as far as me being on it. But I will be listening to your Digicom Cafe. I'm interested. You sparked my interest in that. And we'll be looking at that, too. Yeah, if you get time and you want somebody to talk to, I'm usually around 2:05 most of the day. So we'll see if we can't make it again. But thanks a lot for everything. I appreciate it. Nice USO, and you got to know me a little bit, and I got to know you a little bit, and we're both Christians, I can tell that. So take care of yourself and all the best, and we'll see you around. A5 Delta Charlie Charlie W9KK. Thanks a lot, Denny.
You bet, Cliff. God bless. W9KK, this is K5DCC, Northwest Arkansas, in the Digicom Cafe, 73.
73, Denny. See you later.
Here in the Digicom Cafe Communications Network, we are all about the power of voice. Did you know that you could listen to my Cafe Cast by simply asking Alexa to play Radio on the Rocks, and that you could maneuver your way around my Cafe Cast library by simply saying Next or Previous? I created this Amazon skill using a free and easy platform called VoiceFlow, where you just build your skill block by block, no coding necessary. If you'd like to build your amateur radio skill, go to voiceflow.com. That's voiceflow.com. Hi, this is Extra Class Amateur Radio Operator, K5DCC. I just upgraded to my Extra Class last year. You know how I did it? I used HamTest Online. Did you know that HamTest Online is the top-rated study program on eham.net? 97% of reviewers gave them 5 stars. They have more 5-star user reviews than all other study methods combined, and success is guaranteed. If you fail the amateur radio license exam, they will refund your subscription. It's a no-brainer. You pass the exam or get a full refund. Try it for yourself at hamtestonline.com.